On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic raised bed and garden soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.
You're listening to Castrol CarCast on Podcast One.
Well, Matt, what did we discuss in today's show?
Oh, we're going to take a look at a Bring a Trailer auction, and then we're going to chat about a new Ford Mustang EcoBoost high performance package.
And Ford v Ferrari. Finally saw it. I have thoughts on that movie, so I finally got a sneak preview of it. First, Continental OE Technology Series. You can find weird things in your car. Yeah, I'm pretty good about this stuff, but I didn't have coffee mugs rolling around in my car. What else can you find? Well, you'll find Continental belts, but I bet you didn't know they're OE on millions of Chrysler, Dodge, Ford, BMW. VW, and GM vehicles. Continental is launching the aftermarket multi V-belt with the OE pedigree. It's their OE technology series, fanatically engineered for perfect fit, form, and function for 98% of the vehicles on the road in the U.S. and Canada. Continental OE technology series multi V-belt. The belt with the OE pedigree. And you can get the full story at OETechnologyseries.com. That's OETechnologyseries.com. Well, welcome to Castrol CarCast. I'm Adam Pearl. That's Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea.
Hello.
So much car-related stuff to talk about. I can't believe it, but I saw Ford v Ferrari yesterday in a special screening.
I'm excited to hear about that.
Yeah, I asked if I could bring a date, basically, and they said no. So it was just me, although I did sit next to Nate Adams, who we do our movies with, and I shall be talking to those guys, which is Christian Bale and Matt Damon, soon. I think it's November 1st at the Peterson. So many thoughts on that. We're also just sort of looking on Bring a Trailer. There's a Lamborghini 400 GT 2 Plus 2, 1968, with about 10 minutes left in the sale. It's at $320,000. So we're curious. And we're curious how that – we've always kind of hypothesized on what some of the higher-end cars would do on Bring a Trailer. And I always kind of said to Matt, hey, with the 10% VIG and – people kind of knowing the prices of cars, I think they'll do quite well.
Yeah.
So
I'm already happy with the number that it is now. Like 320 is heading in the right direction. Like I mean, it's not great. It's not terrible. Like it's a pretty good number. And this is part of Bring a Trailer's new, I don't know, premium program or something.
Right.
The cars go up for 15 days.
If you check it, some of the stuff works pretty well. Some stuff disappoints. But in general, I'd give it a thumbs up. Like it's a maybe, you know, they have to be happy with how it's working. So I just saw Ford v Ferrari. It's the movie is about Christian Bale, but it's really the Carroll Shelby story. Carroll Shelby is kind of the guy who drives the story, and Christian Bale's kind of the guy you care about. If that makes sense. I'm trying to think of other movies I've seen that I could compare it to, but what I'm saying is Shelby is the guy who is the central theme of the movie, but Christian Bale is the one you care about. His Ken Miles is the one who you're finding out about the wife and the kid and the trials and the tribulations. But Shelby's the guy who's sort of the engine, pardon the pun, behind the thing.
Yeah.
So it's very good. The Christian Bale thing, nominee. I'm sure he's going to get nominated. I think that Matt Damon may get a nod for Carol Shelby. He just comes across as the most interesting dude on the planet. We don't get to know Carol Shelby, but I mean his love life, his family, his kids or whatever. Right. That's the Christian Bale part of it.
Okay.
Shelby's the mover shaker guy. And the guy who's kind of interesting that I was trying to look up is Tracy Letts, who plays Henry Ford II.
I don't think I know that actor.
Nobody knows that actor, although people go, oh, he's from this and oh, he's from that. That guy, Letts, that guy is Henry Ford II. I don't say he steals the show, but there could definitely be a supporting actor nomination for Tracy Letts.
Except you have Damon and Bale. They're probably going to take the actor and supporting actor nods. But
I don't know that Bale or Damon would fall under the heading of supporting actor. Like, this movie was 2.5 hours long, and they were in every scene.
Yeah.
So you'd be hard-pressed to...
Can you do two from the same movie? Can you do a lead act? I don't know if you could do lead.
I think you can. Who the hell knows? What the hell do I know?
I think the studio would be like, we're going to go for lead and supporting because we don't want them to compete, and we want them both to win.
He was in Lady Bird and The Post, and that's why they call it acting, man. He is a great Henry Ford. And he comes across as just a taskmaster, bully, kind of whatever, but with a heart, you know, like kind of nuanced, really wants to win, gets insulted by Ferrari. The guy who played Ferrari was great, too. The movie, James Mangold, I mean, the movie looked really good.
Yeah.
Like all the shots, all the lighting.
He has kind of a stylistic thing. After Logan, I think he won a lot of hearts and you know, like as a talented director going, oh, James Mangold crushed it with Logan.
The stuff looked good. The period stuff, you know, kind of like Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, you know, 60s Venice Beach, you know, how could you go wrong?
Yeah.
It just looked great.
Although I didn't see that one. I'm waiting for Rambo.
You also you also just kind of realized just simpler times, like just in general, like people drank soda on their porch and just sort of left their windows open and stuff. You know, kids played with puzzles, you know, guys like went to work and didn't scream, I'm going to sue your ass. They just sort of went to work, you know?
So you like the movie. You're saying that it's a lot of Matt Damon playing Shelby to kind of get the movie telling the story. But the underlying drama that you really care about is Christian Bale's Ken Miles character.
Well,
right?
Yeah, every story, like whenever they do a story where they go, we're doing the story of Jackie Robinson, or we're doing the story of Muhammad Ali, or like whatever it is, you can't just do a story about baseball and boxing.
Yeah.
Where's the heart? You know what I mean? Like, where?
I kind of feel like Rush was a little like that, because it was kind of pitched as like, this is the James Hunt movie because he's the one who died, and you know, he's on the poster, but you're like, yeah, but this was a really good Niki Lauda movie. You know,
right,
like Rush
right.
was a really good Niki Lauda movie. Without Lauda, you wouldn't have had the James Hunt stuff.
Right. And that movie, which I liked a lot, Rush, is an example of sort of it's him against him kind of thing, and a little less human story with the son. You know, this is all about Ken Miles and his son and how much his son loves him and how much he loves his son, and he takes him to the race, and his wife, who's super supportive and loves racing. None of it played true to me, but
it's fiction as far as you're concerned.
Wild fiction. but it was well crafted, well done. I mean, it was 2.5 hours long. It did not feel long. A lot of the Lee Iacocca stuff was great. And
yeah, what was that? The actor's name who played Lee Iacocca? He was in like Walking Dead, and he was in
John Barenthal.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was great.
I like that dude.
He was great.
He really brings it all the
Josh
time.
Josh Lucas was great as Leo Beebe, who was like head of sales or whatever.
Lucas was
like if you hear some of those interviews with Shelby that we've done in like our Shelby doc, they'll go like, you know, he'll say things like, I wanted the 427 in there, but BB wanted to put Ford motors in, you know, own motors in. Like, he'll say, like, BB or Leo BB, you know, saying, you're kind of be watching going, who's BB? You know, he's talking about that guy. Josh Lucas played him. He was kind of the wiener of the group. There always has to be the guy who's kind of he's the company guy. And, you know, Shelby's basically saying, you want to win this race, Lamont, let me make the decisions. And they're sort of like, well, we want this driver instead of that driver. It's basically what all of Hollywood does, which is they go, we love your script. We want you to star in the script. We want to see your vision. And then you show up and they go, here's a woman who's going to play your wife. And you go, I don't really like her. And they go, yeah, but she's going to.
Yeah.
And they just start going, and here's your kid. And you go, I wanted the other kid. And they go, yeah, but we want use this one.
Yeah.
And so it's that process. It's that Shelby is kind of that, you know, I don't know. He would be the Seth MacFarlane or the Sasha Baron Cohen or something. And Ford is kind of Paramount or Fox or whoever who's saying, oh, no, we love you. You're the man to do it. Like, you're going to get this done for us. And then they just keep showing up with notes.
Yeah.
Right. And then at a certain point, they're rejecting the notes and they're going, you really need to compromise a little. And it's like, don't you want to win the race?
Yeah.
They don't get it. So it was kind of painted as, you know, Carroll was kind of the maverick and Ford were the corporate guys. And Ken Miles was kind of the troublemaker who Ford didn't really want, you know, because like, what if he does interviews and he doesn't says the car's a piece of crap or something like that?
Yeah.
You know, we can't have that. We need guys we can trust, blah, blah, blah. Very well shot. Cool sort of L.A. period, you know, 60s stuff.
How are the driving scenes?
Driving stuff look great. There was a little, the only part they did a little too much of is they would do all the time. It's like every time, you know, Miles caught up to the guy in the Ferrari and was sort of neck and neck with him on the Mulsanne straight, they'd be driving, but they'd look at each other. Like, and then the guy would go, yeah. And I'm like,
kind of feel like Top Gun did that too. And those guys are going 600 miles an hour.
I haven't done Le Mans, but I've driven enough cars. No one really looks at you. Yeah. They're kind of driving, you know. It's not, and it's also like, yeah, that guy's in his car and he's trying to pass you, and then you're in your car and you're trying to pass him. There's not that much like,
lot of grinning and
that's movie. It's movie stuff where they just get next to each other and have to look at each other and give them that sneer.
Now, knowing, I mean, obviously the 24-hour war, the documentary, it's a few years old, but it's sort of the true story of this feature film. I don't know that a lot of people are going to go and watch this film to compare it to the true story, except car guys will.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your take on, you know, your doc versus this film or the true story versus this film? Is it wildly fun but inaccurate, or did they do a pretty good job as far as accuracy to your recollection?
Well, I don't...
It's been a few years since we did the Ford versus Ferrari doc.
I don't...
24-hour war.
I don't know everything. There's certain things like they did their three car photo finish right next to each other, 1, 2, 3, and the actual photo finish is McLaren sort of darting out what looks like 30 feet in front of everybody else. You know, they didn't, in real life, they didn't really achieve their 1, 2, 3 going across
the photo,
at the exact same time. They kind of spread it out a little bit. There's a little things like that.
A lot of the liberties in films like this are like conversations with the kid and how often he was hugged and this, you know, like, so that's fine. That's the narrative to this. But as far as the racing stuff, and you think, you know, because when we interviewed Mario Andretti, we were talking about Rush and they sort of showed the leaderboard, but they cut Mario off the top and made it far more dramatic by not putting him up there.
Yeah.
You know, there's a few things like that that might stand out.
There was a couple things for me, it was more like, you know, he's at Daytona and they're racing, and I'm looking for some names. And my friend Chris Darga played John Holman, which was kind of cool. Charlie Acapu was sitting in front of us, the real Charlie Acapu, at the movie theater, and his character was in there, played by a guy named Jack Mullen. And there were little things that made me kind of have thoughts like, I'm looking for the name and the breakdown of the characters, but like when they were at, I think it was Daytona before they went to Le Mans, and they were doing this thing where they were like, sorry, I'm looking for these names. Phil Remington was kind of interesting. The guy who played Phil Remington, Ray McKinnon. See where he was from. He was really interested. And Phil Remington was the mechanic. And
yeah.
I went to Dan Gurney's shop, and he's like, right after Phil Remington had passed away, and he's like, that was Phil's workstation. Like, he was still there. They called him Rem, you know, he was still there. Remington had a big part in this, his character. He was like Shelby's right-hand guy. There was like a driver named like Bob Haskins or something, and I can't think of it. I'll think of it. But so I remember making, when I was making the doc, so they're like at Daytona, and he's neck and neck with Haskins, and Haskins is in his GT40, and blah, 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 blah. And I'm thinking the whole time, oh, yeah, that guy went to Le Mans and died in practice.
Yeah.
That was the guy in our doc, Deadwood and Sons of Anarchy is what Ray is most known for. That's the guy who went out and it started raining and they said, like, come in. You know, and he's like, "Nah, I'm still going to practice in the rain." And he just balled up his car.
Yeah.
In testing.
Now, in this movie, do they?
No, they don't cover that. They don't need
the
that.
The drama is around
right.
Miles.
Right. And I'm looking. Well, do a read.
Yeah, all right. I'll tell you guys about Castrol Edge. You know, Castrol Edge, it's stronger under pressure. Engines can lose up to 10% of performance due to friction. Castrol Edge with fluid titanium transforms under pressure to keep metal apart and fight power-robbing friction to unlock exhilarating performance. It's 3 times stronger than the leading full synthetic.
3 times, fool.
Against viscosity breakdown per the Kurt Orban test in the 5W30 VIS grade. Edge formula always exceeds toughest industry standards, but the new and improved formula incorporates the latest technology to make it transform to be strongest when pressure is highest. Check out Castrol Edge.
Walt Hanskin is played by Sean Kerrigan. And Walt, you can look it up, Max Zapata, but I showed up to Le Mans and took his GT40 out to Le Mans. And I don't think it was like, it wasn't the day before the race or anything. I think it was a few weeks before the race. It was like practice or, you know, whatever session at Le Mans. And I do remember in the doc, they just went, he wouldn't come in and he just died. Like, just raining. And everyone else went like, all right, it's raining too hard.
Maybe we should pack it in. He's like, eh.
I'm going for a few more. And he just destroyed his GT40 and killed himself.
So he was killed in a 7-liter Holman and Moody Ford GT40 Mark II.
So he's the Holman and Moody driver, right? Sorry.
Right.
And he was driving in the rain in 1966 during the Le Mans test. A Ford spokesman said his car appeared to have been aquaplaning on the wet track, leaving no way for the driver to control it. Then crew members later said that he continued to push hard in the damp weather, although he had been warned by team manager Carol Smith to take it easy.
Right. So there you go. It just said, like, don't do it.
Just
and
don't
just
do it.
Went and did it.
Yeah.
And
you know,
it's a
weird thing, especially in that era. There was guys like Lauda, who is fast in the rain, and then eventually Senna, who is fast in the rain, and it doesn't always work that way.
Well, what was Walt? Was he 39, 41?
46.
He wasn't a kid. I remember that. All right, our Lamborghini is up to 368,
yeah,
which is good. It's,
so it was
it's
280
reset.
This morning, 7:30 this morning. It was 280, and it popped up to 320, and now it's going, and it's got less than 20 seconds to see if there's another bid that's going to come in, and then it resets the clock. If you guys, obviously, most of you guys listening to this know Bring a Trailer.
Right.
But 368, so it's pretty,
yeah,
well,
I think we're getting to the end here with
three, what's gonna happen.
Two, one.
It's going to take a second to kind of load to see if it's like, is it done or
right
or not. But
so, you know, my feeling of why 370 is good. It's sold for 370. If you put the 10% buyer's premium onto 370, you're over 400.
Yeah,
and people know what the market is. And they're not going to sell. No one's paying over 400 for that car.
Yeah.
Like I was telling you, you know, 375 to four, but people aren't going over four.
Right. Yeah.
And that's
so 368. Now, Bring a Trailer was 5% up to a 5,000 max, but I don't know what it is on the premium. And maybe Chris can fish around or something, but what are the fees on these 2-week premium auctions? I'm curious, but I think the whole point of Bring a Trailer is to not be as expensive as some of the more conventional auctions. But 368 hammer price, if you will, is, you know, it's good. That was a nice car. It's a good car.
Yeah. All right. So you did the Sausalito Ford drive?
Yeah, I went up to, I flew into San Francisco. We went to Sausalito. We went to
I'm sorry, just for one quick digression.
Mm-hmm.
They did a lot of their filming at Willow Springs, and they did Ken Miles driving his Cobra at Willow Springs, and it's kind of cool. It's like, there's Bondurant in the Corvette. You know, he's going to pass Bondurant, the names Gurney and all these names that we know and we've covered and have interviewed. And it was really cool because they did this big extended cool race scene at Willow Springs, which, couple things. Willow Springs looks exactly the same now as it did then. Like, I mean, the same build. There's one or two little brick buildings, you know, block buildings that just have people wear 60s garb and park a Fairlane in front of it.
Yeah,
it's all the
same.
The 60s.
Yeah, it looks the same.
And also, they're doing a lot of, like, Ken Miles is driving that car, and it's his POV, and I'm like, oh, I've turned so many laps on that track that I know exactly what he's doing or where he is, like, on the track.
Yeah.
And it was kind of cool because he's like, Bondurant's in the Corvette. And I was like, I drove a Corvette, and I know exactly what that turn he's on is in and what it looks like. And so it was pretty cool. They did. It seemed like they had to do something to simulate Riverside, which is gone. But Willow Springs was just kind of their home base for all the driving and racing and that sort of stuff. Not for Le Mans, obviously, but it was cool.
I'm trying to think of the other tracks that they filmed that. I thought our buddy said something on the East Coast, Atlanta or something like that. They did some shots there, some of the driving stuff there, but I can't.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I don't recall exactly.
Road Atlanta has a really long straightaway.
Yeah.
So that may have been something where they need the Mulsanne straight. Yeah. Anyway.
Seeing Circuit de la Sarthe in Savannah, Georgia.
That was it.
Oh.
Georgia.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
All right. What do you, Sausalito.
Yeah, so we were in Sausalito. We did a Mustang event. I did a Mustang event up there. A while back, we talked about the Bullet that we like. I did the event at the same location in Sausalito. It's this hotel, but the hotels were like kind of bungalows. It's an old military base right on the water, which is a really great location. And they had a nice drive for us. So what we did was they take groups out there in different shifts every other day or so, and drove the new the 2020 Ford Mustang EcoBoost with the high performance package. And the EcoBoost is a 310 horsepower, 350 pound feet of torque. Mustang, the 2.3 liter four cylinder that is cool. And this high performance version takes the engine out of the Ford Focus RS it's a different assembly line, it's a different engine build, and they put it into the Mustang. I'm not exactly sure how it didn't do the, you know, the Focus RS is 350 horsepower, 350 pound-feet of torque. In the Mustang, for some reason, it's 332 horsepower and 350 pound-feet of torque.
I never know how that works. A Max Pata, you can get my phone. I think Sean sent me a dyno sheet a couple of days back. Just speaking of horsepower.
Yeah. I don't know if it's like an exhaust thing or
I remember famously that, I may screw this up by a point or two, but famously the BMW like E46 M3, see there's the 30.
Yeah, yeah. No,
what was the third one?
I know what you're saying. Yeah, the E36.
Oh, 46. The E46 had 333 horsepower. The M Coupe,
yeah,
the flying brake or whatever, the one I like,
yeah, the one that looks like a shoe. A little boot. It's that, like 315?
That had like 315.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I was like,
I don't know. It was like an exhaust routing issue or something like that.
Exact same engine. Or they detune it a little bit because they're like, we want the M3 to be our quickest whatever or something. I don't know if they do it that way for them whatever.
They didn't get into it. Like the engineer spoke about this package and, you know, it's cool the way it came together because it kind of came together with just the engineers and over at on the Mustang team that are, you know, working on the weekends and going, hey, let's take an RS engine and put it in here just to see what happens, right? And then after they do it, they're like, let's go make a business case to somebody. And, you know, and it's got a high compression head, cylinder head. They run 22 pounds of boost.
It's a lot of boost.
Yeah.
What do you reckon a Mustang weighs over the, what the fuck we're talking about, the RS?
Yeah, yeah. So I think he told us it was about 200 pounds. I don't think it was quite 250.
Heavier.
The GT versus the EcoBoost. And this kind of falls into
The
eight-cylinder versus the four-cylinder.
Right, but I'm saying the Ford Fiesta.
Oh, the Focus RS. What does a Focus RS weigh compared to a EcoBoost Mustang? These guys will have to look it up. I can't say for sure. So we drove. They have a couple versions there. They all have the high performance package, which is this engine, and then they had automatics and manuals. I didn't get a chance to get into the automatic car. I drove two different manuals, but what I drove was a manual high performance base model and then a manual high performance with the optional handling pack. And what's interesting is the handling pack is the night and day difference.
Really?
So the high performance package with this engine is $49.95. It's called $5,000. And for $5,000, you get the RS engine, you get some different aero bits and some stripes and this and that and wheels and brakes and stuff like that. But the handling pack, which is only $2,000, you get the MagnaRide suspension and the seats and all the, you know, and a different brake
upgrade.
That's
electronic magnet.
Yeah, the magnetic ride.
Right. Jesus Christ,
deal.
That's $2,000.
And but you get so much more for it.
Nah, I know. I mean, I remember when that shit was like, you know, space shuttle technology,
yeah,
like crazy,
oh, yeah,
crazy stuff.
Yeah,
oh, thanks for the dyno sheet.
And here's the thing: it's like, okay, you want an EcoBoost high performance, you want the RS engine, but you're kind of wasting your time not getting the handling pack because the aftermarket can't really do this onto the vehicle with the magnetic ride and getting it dialed into the computer.
Best $2,000
and
you'll ever spend.
It really is the best $2,000. And it was such a difference in the handling and the comfort. You know what it is like we went up and down all through the winding roads along the ocean, and there's a lot of elevation changes.
It's only 100 pounds difference, 3,500 and change and 3,400 and change.
So the Mustang is 100 pounds heavier than the Focus RS. And then this one is, you know, and then the Mustang V8, the GT, is another like 200 or something pounds more than that, 250 pounds, something like that.
Than the Ford Focus, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And, you know, they kept saying, you know, the lightness in the front is much more nimble and it really makes a difference on the windy roads. And you do feel it, but you feel it with the handling pack. So if you say to yourself, hey, what's the price of an EcoBoost Mustang, 26,000 and change, you want the high performance version for $5,000 extra, is it still significantly less than a GT? Well, think to yourself, $5,000 for the high performance and $2,000 for the handling package, because you're killing yourself if you don't get the handling package.
Right.
You're going to regret it.
Right.
And those elevation changes are where you really start to feel the Magna ride.
Mm-hmm.
It's when the front end is lifting off the air and it's stretching, it's that road feel that really makes a difference. So it's a fun car. The tough sell is this. The tough sell is the Mustang is just so known as a muscle car with a V8 engine and the sound to it. When you start really pushing a turbo four-cylinder version of the car, you do start to think about things like anything from Hyundai Veloster or whatever it's called, which is supposed to be pretty good for the money.
Mm-hmm.
And then, I don't know, Evo and WRX. And, you know, you start getting into that world and Focus RS and Focus ST. And you think it's sort of a Civic Type R.
Mm-hmm.
You start thinking that world. You don't really think Mustang. So
right.
As far as sound is concerned, you're sort of underwhelmed by the Mustang EcoBoost, but it does perform well compared to its competition, being a lot of those front wheel drive
cars. My feeling would be I want no front wheel drive in
right.
the high performance department. I would want
right.
either all wheel drive or rear wheel drive.
And that's
drive.
It. This is the rear wheel drive option of the
right.
four cylinder turbo world. I'll tell you what I would have done differently, real quick, was I wouldn't have gone with EcoBoost high performance. I would have put a little more attention into the heritage and I would have relaunched an SVO. Because
mm-hmm.
we talk about how the SVO was cool in the day for what it represented, with the cool hood scoop, the offset hood scoop. I would have taken this. You have the EcoBoost Mustang. I would have brought back the SVO nameplate. I would have done the little the NACA scoop for the turbo,
right?
You know, and give it a sort of a cold air thing, like pay homage to that, and maybe done a good one in black like the SVO was, and maybe a little bit of a wing kind of thing.
Would that have been like an 88 or
84?
Oh, that early?
Yeah, 84, 85, because it had like the four. Eyes, the four headlights.
I got to tell you, with the SVO, which was nice in the styling department, it was kind of what the Capri was
yeah.
to the Mustang, was
yeah.
kind of the SVO was to the Mustang 5.0. The SVO had some nice styling cues, and it's probably because it was a little more Euro than American. And I remember, As a young guy who couldn't afford any car and wasn't a fan of a lot of the American stuff, was a little more leaning toward a Toyota Supra or a Z car.
Yeah.
But I remember looking at the SVO like back in the day and going, now that's a Mustang that kind of looks kind of cool. It didn't have. And then the thing that's kind of funny about it is they did in the SVO start to move toward a little more streamlined. I don't mean aerodynamic. I just mean like a little smaller in scale and a little smoother and a little more Euro looking and a little more mm-hmm. finesse and a little less muscle. And then they put together 25 years of junk after that. Like they got close in the mid 80s and then they strung out 23 years of back to boxy basics. And they should have just kind of kept evolving
yeah.
that platform.
I think at one point they were going to stop the Mustang and the Ford Probe was going to be the replacement, but they ended up, they're like, nobody wanted front wheel drive. I think they kind of missed an opportunity here by not doing an SVO version of this instead of just doing the high-po version. I do like they're all come with a dash plate with a serial number, so you'll get a chassis number. It creates a little bit of collectability. But seeing that SVOs are starting to show up at auctions and pull some money, I think this would have been more collectible as an SVO. But and people are going to ask the price real quick before we wrap it up is on this topic is what's the price of this versus the GT? You can't say what's the price of this as it starts to butt up against the GT. You have to look at it as a GT with Magna Ride and with a handling package. So there is a separation in right. cost. So if you want a cool turbo four-cylinder with rear-wheel drive, the high-performance version with the handling package is a cool car. Otherwise, get the V8.
All right, let me hit betonline.ag, and then I'll give you guys some dyno pull
yeah.
numbers from my, it's Newman's 86 championship, GT1 championship car, and that's the VG30 turbo engine for you Nissan nerds out there. Okay, let's see. BetOnline.ag, NFL Weekly Pick'em Charity Contest. NFL and college action continues. Visit BetOnline.ag to take advantage of the best bonuses in the business. Use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% sign-up bonus. Matchups in Week 3 coming up. Baltimore, KC, Houston, Chargers. Saints at Seattle. Rams at Cleveland, Chicago at Washington. We've got a $500 in rewards to give out each week to five listeners and 5,000 season-long charity contest. Join the conversation on Twitter, hashtag SportsNetChallenge. That's SportsNetChallenge. Let's see. We got, here's my lock, New England at home versus the Jets. I know you don't know about football. Final prediction, 33-10, so lock that in. I'll take the Cowboys, I'll take the Eagles, I'll take KC, and I'll take Green Bay this week. 7 out of 10 so far this season. Use the promo code PODCAST1 and get a 50% sign-up bonus, betonline.ag. All right, so I got a dyno pull number. Finally got the 3-liter V6 Nissan engine that's going in the GT1 championship car we've been waiting on for years, I guess.
It seems like forever. This is the single turbo engine.
Yeah, the peak horsepower is 587.4.
At 6,800 RPM.
At 6,800. Now, you would think running 14 pounds of boost and running off 110 Sunoco fuel, you'd think at 68, there'd be a little more. Like, you'd think the thing would pull into a little more into the 74 to 76 range. I do think some of my other V6 turbo cars would tend to pull past 7 and make more. So I don't know if that's a cam situation or how you exactly do that. Also, 14 pounds of boost is good, but you could probably turn that wick up a little bit. On the other hand, you know, 600 horsepower under 7 grand is always yeah. nice to have.
Well, you're essentially a stroker motor. You got a bigger bore and a bigger stroke, I believe, in this, right? So in like
I really don't know.
Yeah, well, we're saying it says it's 358 cubic inches, right?
No, that can't be it. That can't be right, because it says displacement 358.
Yeah,
but 358 is 6.5 liters or 7 liters or something like that. This thing's 180 liters.
Yeah, and I think it's more. Like
I mean, 180 cc's.
Yeah.
So what I mean is I think it's 60 point something per liter.
Right, so it was a 3-liter punched out to something, 3.2.
I don't know how much
it was punched out. If you took a 302 Ford and you punched it out to 331 or 347, you're arguably making a little bit less RPM and a little bit more power.
Yeah,
the
I don't,
end,
but
so.
No, so here's what, don't look at 358 in terms of displacement as it pertains to cubic inches, because what is a 5 liter? Is that a 302 or a 289?
It's a 302. 302. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
So 5 liter is a 302.
Yeah.
This is a 3 liter, which makes it a 180.
Yeah. Okay.
You feel me?
Yeah.
So if it were, it would be a 7 liter or just below a 7 liter.
Oh, well,
if it was
5.8, closer to 6.
Huh?
A 351.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, it's 5. Yeah, sorry. Closer to 6. Yeah, like 5.8, 5.9. Anyway, sorry. In the movie, the big block was the 7 liter.
Yeah.
It's in my
head.
That's
funny because Chris was reading the Holman and Moody guy that died in the rain, and he was running the 7 liter. I was like,
right.
Oh, he's running the big motor.
The big block.
Yeah.
Right. It's about a 3 liter, and it's making about 600 horsepower, which is, you know, pretty good.
Yeah.
We'll see. Hopefully we'll get the engine back.
So it's 587 horsepower at 6,800 RPMs, and it's a peak torque of 508 at 5,600 RPMs. But, man, it makes a lot of torque. And the whole big power range, like, we're looking at just the high end of the dyno sheets from about 4,200 to about 6,900. So I don't know what it's doing below 4,200, but this is the racing zone that you're in here on this power band. And it doesn't drop below 475 pound feet of torque.
Like, right.
It's 475 to 508 the whole time. That's not a big variation. It's a hell of a lot of torque.
Good. I need it.
Yeah. You're going to need it. But as soon as you go below 4,200,
yeah,
who knows? Who knows what happens?
Knows. All right. So you're going to be driving the Lamborghini.
Urus.
Maybe it's just me. Is Lamborghini getting a little too aggressive in their styling? Like, it's a little too sharp.
They made a commitment to it for sure.
Yeah.
That, like, sort of stealth bomber kind of look to it.
Right.
This one is I'm curious to drive this one because in the world of super high performance SUVs, I'm hearing now this is the best one. The problem is they keep rolling around in this yellow, and I think the yellow is terrible on this truck. And you know, Chris, I think you might be showing us ones with a body kit on it, but I just think it's the yellow doesn't do much. I know a lot of people say Pontiac Aztec when they see it, and I asked Lamborghini. I said, "Hey, any chance you have something other than yellow?" And they said, "Yes, we actually have a beautiful, like, dark blue."
I was going to say a midnight blue.
That's what they're sending over.
On that,
I'd love
on that
to
car.
See like a midnight blue with a red interior, sort of like the color combination we love, the blue Note with the red interior. I'd love to see that. I think it needs a little bit classier color. You don't always have to go. Now we're looking at a picture of the blue. That looks great. You don't have to go full Lamborghini colors on this.
No.
You know, like, you don't need to do the yellows and the lime greens and stuff
right.
on this. Yeah, I mean,
right.
if you want to get it, that's fine. But I'd like to see some classy colors. And unlike any other Lamborghini, which is it's great and it sounds good and is fast, still, you know, it drives like a supercar. And apparently Lamborghini is just hitting it out of the park as far as comfort and drivability. So I'm actually curious to drive this. And, you know, we've been in the Jaguar
who's
SVRs.
Who's making their engines?
So Lamborghini is part of, like, Volkswagen, you know, Porsche group and everything. So I'm going to say there's probably some shared tech closely with Audi and Porsche.
Is it a turbo
V8? I believe it's a turbo 8. And I don't know where the block starts, if that's like a Porsche 8 or Audi 8. But I'm sure there's some shared tech there. I'll come in with more of the research and the specs and the driving impressions of it next week. But
yeah,
it looks cool. It should be fun.
Tease it for a second. I'll let you read it. Let me hit Geico real quick. How about you save hundreds of dollars on your car insurance?
Yeah.
You don't have to go anywhere. Just go to geico.com. Geico.com. 15 minutes could be saving 15% or more on your car insurance. Take the extra money, put it in your pocket. That'll be the most rewarding thing you do all day today at
yep.
Geico. That is geico.com. All right, what do
money.
You know?
All right, it does Thank not you. Use Lamborghini's hallmark of naturally aspirated V10 or V12 engines.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, it's a 4-liter twin-turbocharged V8, a modified version of Audi's 4-liter V8 engine. This engine has application in other VW Group cars, including the Porsche Cayenne and Panamera, as well as some of the Audi S and RS models.
Makes sense. All right. So do you...
Yeah.
I don't know.
What does a truck cost? 200-something thousand?
Probably. Tell me what you think of this. I get it. Like, it's totally reliable.
Yeah.
But it's like when I bought my Aston Martin V12, and the guy's like, I was like, what's the origin of the engine or whatever? And he's like, it's a V12. It's like two Ford six-cylinder EcoBoost yeah. put together. I was like, okay. Yeah.
Probably not the best selling point.
Like, if you're selling a custom house, you don't go, this is like two double-wide trailers stacked on top of each other. It's like, no.
No, I don't want that at all.
I don't want that.
I don't want to pay 10 times as much money for two trailers.
I don't want what's in the loaded Touareg
in my
Lambo.
Yeah.
I want a V12 in my Lambo that I can say is my V12 Lambo engine. Not shares the same base as a bunch of as the VW vans and shit. Like, I know it's not that. It's fine, but what I'm saying is, I don't know, like for over 200 grand,
yeah,
I want an engine that I can kind of brag about a little
right.
bit.
Or at least enough, like you get cosmetically it's going to look different and tuning and stuff, but like I'd like to dig in and go, hey, does the Touareg have some terrible cast head and then the Lamborghini's got like a billet cylinder head and four valves and, cams. How far does it go?
I know the guy. I know my friend Umgad. You've met him a few times.
Yeah,
he's
got
the LM, like whatever, Lambo, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. The LM 200?
Yeah, and it's like, well, look at this Lambo. It's an SUV, and it's like, yeah. And it's got a Countach engine in it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, that sounds like the coolest thing.
Yeah, that sounds like a cool
thing.
He
ended up, I think, putting a Diablo engine in his. But, I mean, it's like, yeah, that thing over there, that's got a Diablo engine in it.
Yeah.
The thing that sits high off the ground.
That's what you want, yeah.
And then you go, oh, that sounds cool. And what you want to do is you go, see my truck? It's got the Murcielago engine in it. The whatever.
I guess they would rather say this is a Panamera turbo engine, and they'd be like, all right, I can kind of get away with that.
I'm just saying, it's all of, hey, look. Once you get above Panamera Turbo or whatever, it's all just bragging rights at that point. You don't need more vehicle. All right. Lexington, Kentucky, comedy off Broadway tonight, which is kind of today. I think we're doing like a 4:30 show over there, like a matinee show. You can check us out doing the live pod there. Napa Uptown Theater, that'll be next Friday. That'll be September 27th. That's me doing stand-up. Then we got the cruise. Jeez, that's the next one. That's at the West Palm Beach. What the hell with all the travel?
Yeah, it's three weekends in a row for
October.
You
gotta make some money.
Yeah, man. I got to earn some money. And that'll be at the West Palm Beach, Florida, at the Improv there. We're doing a live pod there. And then you can go to amcrolla.com for all the live shows all over the place. Taco Bell material. See the special on Chassis and Amazon and Apple and leave a nice rate and review. Oh, Crank Yankers coming up this Wednesday?
Yep.
Correct. September 25th at 10:30, Comedy Central after South Park.
Nice.
What do you got? Shift and Steer.
Shift and Steer, check it out. And we did a nice overview of Frankfurt Auto Show with Edmunds.com this week on CarCast. So if you check out the show from Wednesday.
So until next time, Adam Kroll for Matt the Motorator, DeAndrea saying keep the air in the spare and the bag in the wheel.
For the latest updates and call-in times, follow the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at CarCast Show. If you'd like to write in, fill out the form on CarCastShow.com. And don't forget to give us a nice rating on iTunes. CarCast is a Corolla Digital production and is produced by Chris Loxamana. For more information, visit CarCastShow.com.
On
On this episode of Plant Killers, we'll explore one nation's most notorious fruit and vegetable killer, bad dirt. What makes bad dirt so bad? The answer? The ingredients. But fear not, true crime enthusiasts. This story has a happy ending. New Miracle-Gro Organic Raised Bed and Garden Soil. It's made with quality organic ingredients from upcycled green waste like compost and aged bark. Unlike the other guys who can't say the same. Looks like bad dirt's murdering days are over, thanks to Miracle-Gro. Join us next time on Plant Killers.